Welcome to the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Lyne. Join us as we talk all things world building.
Get tips and advice for creating rich and immersive worlds for your stories, whether you're an aspiring author or wanting to level up your world building for future books.
We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years. So get comfy.
And grab a cuppa. Let's get world building. Welcome to season 2 of the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast.
In our last episode, we talked at some length about food, not just randomly, but food in world building. Today, we're going to go over the year so far and talk about what's coming over the next few months. So when this episode airs, it will be 5 months of podcasting together. What's been your highlight or favourite episode so far, Angeline?
I absolutely loved our joint world building venture. I've never co-built a world before, and I am really looking forward to writing the book set in that world and then putting it alongside yours. I've actually enjoyed collaborating a lot more than I thought I would. I mean, one of the reasons that I am an indie author is because I'm such a control freak. And when it comes to world building and writing, I have my way. I have my ideas. And I was honestly quite worried that co-building with you, that it would feel like you were encroaching on that, you know? And I remember saying to you at the time that this was like a couple's first holiday together, that it was an absolute make or break situation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it worked really well, and I think we've built a world that's going to be really cool, and I am very, very excited to write in it.
Yes, I feel much the same. It's been a real adventure and so much fun. But for my highlight, it has to be our post-Edgelit party episode. As exhausted as I was and you know, sore throaty and everything, it was a real buzz recording that one in the same room together. And I really hope that there will be more opportunities to do that in the future.
Yeah, it was really good to record together. We'll definitely have to make that happen more often.
Definitely. So as this new season for the podcast gets going, we're taking a look back at what we had planned for 2019.
That's right. And it's so important to check in regularly with your goals and your progress, and to see what's still relevant and what you need to change and so on.
Yeah, because you can set out a plan for the year ahead, but find that things change as the months go by. And it's absolutely okay to change your plans if they no longer suit you. Goals change, life happens, new opportunities come along, and being able to adapt to that is a really valuable skill. Do you manage to make those kinds of changes easily?
I have a very laid-back approach to plans and schedules, both in my writing and in general life. I am a complete make-it-up-as-you-go-along kind of person, and I always have been. I mean, I very rarely even wear a watch. But this approach is both to my benefit and to my detriment, probably more often to my detriment, if I'm completely honest. I was actually talking to a fellow creative just the other day, and she had been advised to keep a journal because she tends to simply carry all her ideas around in her head in like this one big brain jumble. And I agreed, because this is exactly what I do. I carry all these ideas kind of like trying to carry an armful of balls. And then every so often I have some kind of like creative overwhelm meltdown, and I drop all of the balls and I kick them around in a temper, and then I set about picking them all up again. And it's not a sensible way to manage things. And you know what? I have countless journals and planners, and I still carry it all around in my head. It's just how I am, and I've accepted that now. But saying that, when I get an idea in my head and put a deadline to it, that feels like it's set in stone. Like, I chisel my deadlines. They're not half-formed bubbles floating around randomly like everything else in my life is. I tend to use them like coat hangers, and I hang everything else off them. So when a deadline disappears, it's just like dropping all the balls again. Yes, I will have a mini freakout. So despite my laid-back approach to life, the universe, and everything, changes tend to freak me out. And I think it's because I don't have a well-organized system in place. I think it's because I'm constantly juggling. So one upset becomes a catastrophe. But like I said, that's just who I am and how I work. And all the planners and systems in the world are not going to change it.
I've always kept journals and used planners, and I just couldn't manage everything in my life without my bullet journal. I use it for everything, and it has changed my life completely. So I'm a big advocate of that.
It's very sensible. So we relaunched this podcast back in April with not a lot of prep time. It was quite a spontaneous thing. So how did starting the podcast mesh with your plans for the year, Holly?
So I set my annual goals and publishing schedule for this year back in December. I had a revenue goal, and the plan was to publish 2 new books and an audiobook. I also wanted to do a live event. In my breakdown of how I was going to hit my revenue goal, I had a point to collaborate and another to start a YouTube channel. So in reality, starting this podcast did actually slot in nicely. It's a podcast rather than YouTube, but the collaboration element is in there. How about you?
So this was definitely not in my plans for the year. I'd actually started this podcast as a solo endeavor some time ago, but it had fallen by the wayside. It was still in my consciousness, kind of like an ugly troll looking over my shoulder, reminding me of yet another abandoned project, yet another symbol of my complete ineptitude and inability to stick at anything. But I hadn't planned on doing anything more with it than cowering from it whenever it looked at me. You know, it's really unhelpful the way we carry these preconceptions around about ourselves. Now, I'm one of those people who always likes to see the good in everyone, and I also like to make my own judgments about people. If I'm told bad things about someone before I meet them, I always disregard them and give that person a chance or 3 chances, and then I make up my own mind. But I don't do that about myself. I have all these judgments that I've made, and I'm completely unwavering on them despite all the evidence to the contrary. And I definitely have this idea about myself that I am a perpetual giver-upper. And despite everything, despite the fact that I have proved that theory wrong like so many times, I still hold on to that archaic idea of myself. And honestly, it's damaging, but I just don't seem to be able to get past it.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. It was about 15 years ago now, I think, that my mum told me that I never finish things. It was in a well-meaning way. She wasn't being mean, but it was an observation that she wanted to share. So as if to prove her wrong, I immediately got out an old painting that needed a bit of work and finished it. And like you, despite completing many, many things, a degree, which took me 6 years, but I did it, several books, and so many other things, I still carry that criticism with me and often believe it. So, yeah, it's hard to shed those things. So which of these ideas that you're carrying around and juggling at the moment have you worked on so far this year?
So it has actually been a really big year for me, and every year seems to get bigger. It's crazy. I have too many ideas, and I just keep cramming more and more in. Each day only has 24 hours, and that is never going to change, but I keep trying to crowbar more stuff into that time. So when 2019 began, I was finishing off The Notary of Gotless Street for an early February release. That went fine, and I released that as planned in time for the Burton Sci-Fi and Fantasy Con mid-month. Now, we've talked about this event before, but let's cover it again in relevance for today's episode. So they say that necessity is the mother of invention, and this event was definitely that. In fact, this whole year has been proving that idea. I need to just quickly rewind to last October when I attended a writing event in Nottingham called Other Worlds as a guest author. And for the first time in my life, I was able to bring copies of my books to sell. I did, and I sold lots and walked out there with a handsome wad of cash. So the following month, I was a guest author at Sledgelit, which is the Christmas version of Edgelit. And again, I was offered the chance to sell my books. So I brought a pile, I put them on the bookstall among titles by the likes of Sarah Pimbra and M.R. Carey. And to my complete devastation and humiliation, I sold one book. I'd been spoiled at Other Worlds, and in my naivety, I'd assumed that that had set a precedent. It is a little bit painful for me to go over this story again and to do it so publicly, but I also think that it's really important because there's good lessons to express to you about making assumptions, and also because this story does have a happy ending, about turning a defeat into a victory. So in November, I found myself staring rather dismally at a box full of book stock and absolutely no idea how to sell it. But the morning after, I pulled up my big girl pants and changed my attitude. Instead of thinking, what am I going to do? I thought, right then, what am I going to do? So I approached my local library with an idea for a small sci-fi and fantasy author event with maybe five authors doing readings and signing and selling books. I easily knew five authors because of that author network I've been spending years building, and this is why I keep harping on about the importance of it. So the library got excited about my idea, and I got even more excited, and there was talk of Vikings, and all of a sudden a small author event exploded into the Burton Sci-Fi and Fantasy Con with eight authors, a huge Warhammer setup, Dungeons and Dragons, craft workshops, toy sales, and a movie actor as a special guest. It was huge! And I organized the whole thing in just 9 weeks with a budget of precisely £0. I didn't pay a penny for advertising. And on the day, we actually had 1,700 people through the door. And it was a huge success. And honestly, I am still reeling from it. So those were the things that were already planned when I started 2019.
We've known each other for a few years, but only really started to get close towards the end of last year. And by February this year, I knew you were not someone who does things by halves. You go all in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was why I was so excited to collaborate with you, and it hasn't disappointed at all.
Good.
So we started this podcast together after that event, which you invited me to, and it was my first ever live event as a member. And that was one of my goals for the year. So I got that ticked off quite early. And then I finished and launched In the Blood, which was my NaNoWriMo project last November. But life, as you know, happens, and my plans have had to change. My mother-in-law passed away in April. So after my book launch, there really wasn't a lot of writing for the rest of April and all of May. So where I had intended to go straight into the sequel to that book, It didn't happen. And most of my work hours since then have been dedicated to this podcast and our co-writing project. I couldn't have predicted how much I would enjoy doing this. It's really been a beacon for me this year, in what has been quite a challenging year. And I spent some time, sort of end of June, beginning of July, doing a mid-year review, which is something I like to do, figuring out what I want more of and what I can stop worrying about.
Which is really important, looking back at your goals and working out what you need to change. And I've been doing a lot of that as well this year. I'm changing my focus a lot, and there's going to be loads of changes happening in various parts of my business. What are you working on right now then, Holly, and what will be coming up after that?
So as we record this, I'm just finishing up the production of a 4-book box set. It's my favourite phase, formatting!
Yay!
I'm totally joking. This is the least enjoyable bit for me.
Horrible.
I'd been wanting to assemble this set for about a year, and I decided to take the plunge when my new writing dried up in May. This series is one I've already published as individual books, but I'd never done a complete series box set with it. I'd been feeling for quite some time that the series could do with a refresh. The first book in particular, I wrote it a long time ago, and the read-through wasn't as good as I knew it could be. My writing had improved so much over the course of writing that series, and I wanted to make sure that I could be proud of every book that I put out into the world. So I set about doing a thorough edit of that book and decided to change the titles of three of the books and of the series itself. I think I've said before in a previous episode about jumping into self-publishing with very little knowledge, which I think most of us do. I think it's important to talk about these things too, so I'm happy to share what I've learned with our listeners. I gave my books quite abstract titles that sort of allude to the plot, but really didn't convey the genre too well. I simply didn't realise that was necessary at the start of this journey. It's so, so important to show prospective readers as clearly as possible what they can expect from the book through the title and the cover, because we do all judge books by their covers. I really didn't appreciate at the start of my publishing journey just how important that was, and I'm using my acquired knowledge now to hopefully benefit my books. So cover fashions change over time as well, and I knew the series could benefit from a full facelift, so I got a new cover done for the box set, renamed everything, and I'm now relaunching it. If the box set does well, I'll get new covers for all of the individual titles as well. As this airs, because there will be a delay between recording and this going out, the series will have just launched, actually. So do please check it out. If you enjoy dark, gritty, urban fantasy books, this 4-book series, entitled Shifters of Caerten, is about a young shapeshifter and her pack mates as they fight to maintain their territory and protect humanity against the demons and fae that stumble into the human world from their own strange realms. It's a story about tough decisions, sacrifice, and loyalty. It's dark and action-packed and full of juicy plot twists. You can find out more about that on my own website, hbline.com.
Yeah, we're actually recording this podcast right at the end of July because I am away for the summer for a very much needed break. I take my two boys down to my parents' house by the seaside and we will be there for 5 glorious weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, I still work while I'm away. I can't stop altogether, but I strip right back and do, let's be honest, the absolute bare minimum. But you know what? I really need it. I so do. I really feel like I've exhausted myself this year. And if I want to continue like this from September onwards, I really need this break. Mm. So currently I'm writing a prequel novella to my urban fantasy memory trader series called The Stray. That will be released exclusively to my mailing list by the end of August. So, yeah, I'm changing my mailing list strategy a little bit. I think, you know, we've already said we need to be flexible and keep changing things up as we learn new things and as our priorities change and as our lives do as well. And that's a great thing about being an indie author. You can change things around. Like in June, I had 2 weeks of complete childcare disruption, and just those 2 weeks caused a knock-on effect that will last the rest of the year pretty much. So I've had to switch my publishing schedule around completely because of it. So current plans are to release the prequel novella to my mailing list and to new signups by the end of August. And then by the end of September, I hope to publish the third book in the Memory Trader series called The Settling. After that, there's our co-authoring project, and I'm also, as if that isn't enough, currently world building for a new post-apocalyptic trilogy, so that will be my publishing schedule for 2020.
Which brings us to the second part of this episode, which is looking to the future.
Yes, and our big bit of news is that we've decided to increase our podcast schedule to put out weekly episodes rather than fortnightly ones. So from now on, you're going to be getting twice as much of us, aren't you lucky?
Yay! So in this mid-year review, sorry that I said that I did, I decided I wanted to do more podcasting, and I suggested it to you, and we had another one of those spooky moments of synchronicity where you'd been thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking the same thing. It is so spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
So fortnightly episodes, it felt a bit too spaced out, like we were losing momentum between episodes. But we won't actually be co-hosting every episode together. So each month you will get two episodes with both of us, and then one solo episode from Holly and one from myself.
Yep. I'm really quite excited about these changes. I think it's a new creative challenge and will bring our listeners even more content that hopefully they'll find really valuable. As we've mentioned a couple of times, there's also our co-writing project on the horizon. We built our world quite publicly on Instagram with our World Building Quest month. And the plan is to each write a story set in that world, and then we'll release those together next year.
Yes, publishing under our new joint imprint called Phoenix and Crow. And that's a brand that you'll start to see cropping up with the podcast, the books, and lots of other things too, all huddling together under the one umbrella. So, shall we let some cats out of the bag and talk about what's coming next for us, Holly?
Yes, so much is coming up. We have covered several things already, and there is even more.
Yay.
So yeah, our World Building Quest challenge that we ran on Instagram in June has evolved into our lovely community, our band of adventurers. If you sign up via our website, you'll receive an invitation to our private Discord chat room, where each month we have a live brainstorming session. The two of us jump into the group to answer questions, make suggestions, and help writers figure out their writing struggles. That's on the last Tuesday of every month.
And evolving out of that, like some kind of beautiful and mystical creature, is our next project to help you guys improve your world building and writing. We are going to be launching an online course.
Ooh. World Building Quest 2.0, if you like. We're looking for a group of writers to join us for the first enrolment period. Students will get to work with us to create their world, develop it, and populate it. The skills we'll help you to develop will enable you to confidently create worlds in the future.
You will get lifetime access to the course and to any extra updates that we publish, and you'll always be able to come directly to us with any questions or extra support that you need. You'll also get the opportunity to help to shape this course and the direction that it takes. We want your input to make this the most helpful novel crafting course that it can be.
Our band of adventurers will continue and remain free, but the paid program will be more in-depth and more personalized to you. You can find out more about that on our website, greatwesternwoods.com.
An enrolment will close in just a couple of weeks, so don't dilly-dally.
Now, we've covered a lot of ground in this episode. I hope that you've enjoyed this and found it helpful, informative, inspiring, and maybe a little bit entertaining. Let's wrap things up with something cool.
Well, I've got lots of cool things on the horizon, but unfortunately, I can't actually talk about any of them.
Oh, no!
But Yes, lots and lots of potentially very, very exciting things, eh, Holly?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Plans are brewing for even more juicy goodness. So my cool thing is this documentary that I watched when I should probably have been working. It's called The Great Hack, and it's on Netflix. It's about how all of our data is saved and ultimately used, not only to serve us targeted ads, which authors will know a bit about, but also to shape our very reality, to influence our views, and ultimately to divide entire populations. It was so powerful. It's not cool, perhaps, in the conventional sense of the word. It's downright chilling. But knowledge is power, and knowledge is cool. Knowing more about the world around us and the role technology plays in it, that's cool to me. It's a dystopian author's paradise, actually.
Well, I like that. And actually, if you take any inspiration from that documentary that ends up in a book one day, then actually it is the same as working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's research.
I'm totally claim it. Yeah, totally claim it as research. It's fine.
Okay.
So, on to our would you rather question. So, Holly, would you rather walk on the moon or visit the bottom of the ocean?
Oh, I really like the question, but it's not easy. I think, on balance, I would rather go to the bottom of the ocean because, you know, I would love to go up into space. I really, really want to do that. And I want to look down on the Earth. I think that would be incredibly profound and life-changing and amazing. But we kind of know what's on the moon. Yeah, it's rock.
Yeah. cheese.
Yeah, of course it is. It's cheese. But the bottom of the ocean is teeming with life that we don't really yet know or understand. There's so much that hasn't been classified yet. And to go and have a peek at that and, you know, how alien some of it is, the really weird, creepy sea life, I think is very cool. So I would opt for that one, I think.
And how about you? I would completely agree with you on all of that. Like, I would love to stand on the moon and look down at the Earth, but that's kind of it. Then you're like, okay, well, I've done that. Oh, look, there's a crater. Oh, look, there's another one. I'm sure the moon would be fascinating to walk on, but I'd definitely opt for the bottom of the ocean, pretty much for the same reasons as you. You know, there's just stuff to see. And stuff that we've never ever seen. I just find that fascinating, that like the percentage of the ocean that we've actually explored on our own planet is like minuscule. There is so much in the ocean that we have no idea about at all, and we've never seen on our own planet like that.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. So, yes, I would totally agree with you about visiting the bottom of the ocean.
Cool. Okay, so that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week. Not in 2 weeks, next week.
Next week.
For our very first new solo show.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Great Western Woods Worldbuilding Podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And all the show notes and whatnot are on our website at greatwesternwoods.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our band of adventurers and access our monthly online worldbuilding chat sessions.